be seated. Maybe it's remarkable, maybe it's not, but today we're celebrating Veterans Day on Veterans Day. That we've kludged up and give federal holiday status and a Monday off to folks. Let us not lose sight of what happened 100 years ago today. We're celebrating the end of fighting in World War I, the Great War, the war to win, end all wars, as I recall it was written. Okay. But history played a cruel joke on us and continues to play a cruel joke on us. And after the Korean War and World War II, Congress enacted, the president signed into law, changing Armistice Day to Veterans Day. And we celebrate today the service of folks who have served in the military and continue to serve in the military. There are currently more than 21 million living U.S. veterans. Okay. More than 16 million of those veterans served during one or more wars. More than 2 million of those veterans are women. Okay. And if you watch the Weather Channel in February, this won't surprise you that Florida has the number 3 population of veterans. We have more than 1.6 million of those veterans living right here in Florida. And so we celebrate those who have served and those continue to serve in a way that is profoundly meaningful to veterans and I hope meaningful to this whole community of faith. The scripture for today comes from Micah. It's one verse. Micah 6:8. And it goes like this. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we thank and pay tribute to the veterans who have served and continue to serve, let us also recognize the blessings that you bestow on us and that we pray that what is said and what is heard and what we are compelled to do as we leave here today will bring glory to you and further your kingdom on this earth. Amen. By virtue of having spent 33 years in the Air Force and not have been of the faith when I entered the Air Force, it has been, I've always been intrigued how people get started on a faith journey and how they learn to know and develop a relationship with God. So I confess that military and its impact on religion and its impact on each other has been something that I've really been interested in. And it's, if I were to look back at Douglas MacArthur. We all know Douglas MacArthur of World War II fame, but he was a young officer in the First World War. And I think about how he came to know God. And it was, he was tasked to lead a night reconnaissance mission. His unit was ordered to take a hill, okay? Take a hill. And before they would head out and do that, they wanted to do a night reconnaissance mission, understand where the enemy was deployed, and how strong they were. And so he led this mission because, A, he wanted to provide a morale boost by having a more senior person in the group, and he wanted to be able to direct the activities. And so when it got dark, MacArthur and his reconnaissance patrol headed out. And they didn't move very far at all before the enemy opened up with every arsenal, everything in their arsenal, machine guns, grenades, rifles, just everything. And the men jumped into shell holes. If you imagine France that has just been trading artillery barrages left and right and left and right, both sides, there's not much living vegetation. There are shell holes all over the place, and the men dove into these things. And the firing continued, but it began to subside. And MacArthur, who was charged with carrying out this mission, knew that it was going to be difficult, if not impossible, with all this firing going on. So he was going to retreat with his men. And so in a muted voice, when the shooting had stopped and everything was quiet and it was as dark as it was ever going to get, he said, "Men," he said, "in a minute I'm going to give you an order to grab the person's hand on your right and left, get up and run back toward me, and I will lead you back behind the lines." And so he sat there quietly, got darker, and he said, "Now's the time." And he got up and he said, "All right, men, grab the hands on either right or left of you and come on." Nothing. Nothing happened out there. And so he crawled up to the first shell hole and nudged the guy. Nothing. No movement at all. The man was dead. And he moved over to the next shell hole and the man was dead. He went from shell pocked landscape feature, and everybody in his reconnaissance patrol had been killed except young Douglas MacArthur. Now, Paul had his road to Damascus experience, but Douglas MacArthur equates what happened that night on the battlefield to Paul and his Damascus road experience. He came to know God that night, had no idea why he was saved, had no idea why he was spared, had no idea what God had in mind for him, but he was convinced that there was a reason he survived. I cannot claim a military experience similar to the one that Douglas MacArthur experienced. But I can tell you, and I will share with you, the experience that I've had with small groups of people, brothers and sisters in Christ, who were in the military and who positively impacted me in a way that has eternal consequences. I was privileged in the 70s to be flying the reconnaissance version of the F-4. It was a fast airplane. It could fly 1,300 miles an hour. And if speed is life, we had lots of life, okay? It was pretty fast, and you could pull 8 Gs and scare yourself. And it was, I mean, if you could fly that fast, why, you might think you're bulletproof, okay? And people who flew fighters back then had either a level of confidence or arrogance or whatever you call it. They thought they were bulletproof. Are there any Marines out here? This is when I expect a Marine to jump up and said, "What do you mean, think?" Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, but they, your typical fighter pilot was a little bit arrogant. Certainly thought they were bulletproof. Set of confidence that was remarkable. Okay, and yet I flew in a squadron with people who were different than that, a small group of people who were different than that. I knew they were different. I knew how they were different. I didn't know why they were different, okay? They were young men who sought justice, loved kindness, and walked humbly with God. I hadn't been introduced to the prophet Micah at that time, but I had been introduced to young men who had been touched by Jesus. And they put their arms around Jerry and me and brought us into their circle and started us on a journey, a relationship with Jesus Christ that was remarkable. It wasn't in a shell hole. It wasn't on a battlefield where lives were being vaporized. It was in just a small group, tied together by a bond of our similar jobs, but tied more closely together by what I sensed and what we sensed from those folks. Subsequent assignments, Jerry and I were in Bible groups, small Bible groups, and they, along with these friends from Germany, continued to be our strongest and best friends because we shared that journey and because they were willing to reach out to us. And they were just remarkable, all Air Force people who shared the love of Jesus Christ in a way that was powerful. It was not a Damascus moment. It was not a MacArthur moment in France. I was part of a small Thursday morning breakfast group with a bunch of Air Force officers. And you might, how many of y'all are part of a breakfast group, one way, shape, or form? Okay. You can tell me if this is true or not now. Okay. I hate to put you on the spot here, but you can tell me if this is true or not. In the scripture, well, this is not from scripture, but still may be true. When two or more men are gathered together, football will break out. Okay, okay. And so we talk about football, sure. Okay, yeah. But and as enjoyable as that was, as much as I appreciate the fellowship, what made a difference, and what propelled me further down my faith journey, and what helped solidify my growing relationship with God, was a friend of mine who stuck his finger. We shared our faith journeys. We shared what was going on in our heart. We shared the things that were weighing on our heart in our faith journey. And it was a good friend. He stuck his finger in my chest, not just once, several times like that. And he said, John, you talk a good game, but where is your commitment? What kind of friend is going to do that? A darn good friend. Okay. Here's a fella who I love today, love he and his wife today. They're good friends and all this, but he would take me aside, didn't take me aside, I'm sorry, would take the time to hold me accountable for the things I was saying but perhaps not doing. And he did it in a loving manner, but if he didn't seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God, that never would have happened. I was attracted to people like that. They had a profound impact on our faith journey and continuing relationship with God. Of course, you can't stay in the military forever. Okay? When I retired in 1999 from the Air Force, my goodness, almost 20 years ago now, I went into public and private higher education. I have a great, intense love for and investment in the character and leadership development of young people. And so you can do that in higher education in a way that perhaps is more difficult to do in other endeavors. In the last 11 years of that second career, we were out and served one of our Methodist colleges out in West Texas, McMurray University, and we did that for 11 years. And so not only was I worried about character and leadership development, I really became engaged with millennials and how they come to know and love Jesus. Would this come as a surprise to you that the millennials don't necessarily like, in fact, are disillusioned by the church? Any surprise there? No. Would it come as a surprise to you that in elements of spirituality and religiosity, they are seeking a relationship with Jesus Christ, but they're not necessarily enamored by the method through which we've come to know Jesus Christ. There are not a lot of them in the church here today. There's just a couple, okay? But they want to love and know Jesus Christ, okay? So the time that I got to spend in out in Abilene and working with young people was a real blessing because I learned that there were young people, rather than write them off, they're seeking a relationship with Jesus in ways that just ought to inspire all of us. But you know, those are the young people, that's the generation and their brothers and sisters who are now serving in our military. They're the veterans, if you will, that are out there in the in service to our country right now. And so I want to tell a third story, okay? And this is a story about some young Marines who are were stationed in an American base in Iraq, okay? They're a small group that is a combat unit, but they come together just before they're going out on a mission to search for insurgents. They come together in a small little trailer, a little 8-wide trailer painted white to reflect the heat of the desert. And it's a small group that they all claim to be Christians. Some of them will claim a denominational affiliation, a couple of Baptists, Roman Catholic, a semi-Methodist. And then there are a number of them who are friends of Christians who ask them to come to the prayer group, come to this small group, be a part of this because I've seen you and I think this would be helpful. I know this to be true in my life. I think it'll be true in your life. These are young people who have been introduced to Jesus because somebody took the time to reach out and touch them, reach out and hug them, reach out and bring them in. Much like the guy who stuck his finger in my chest some 25, 30 years ago. And so this is a group that comes together. They're out on a mission, or going out on a mission. They're gathered around. They're all with combat gear on. There are no church bulletins. What they're going to do is not in a bulletin. What they're going to do is not in a formal order of worship. But it's how they've shaped a small group experience to help them grow in the love of Jesus Christ. It started as just two people getting together to pray before they went out. It didn't grow much beyond that for a while because they were afraid, well, we bring anybody else in, the chances that they all get killed means we'll lose somebody, and that won't be good for us as a group. And yet they did lose somebody. And all it did was make them stronger in their faith and expand their worship service. So they're in this trailer, about ready to go out on a mission in Iraq. They open with the doxology. They sing the doxology. Okay. They pray David's prayer of repentance from Psalms. They pray again. They pray collectively. They recite the scripture from the Psalm. I mean, they're holding each other accountable to memorize the scripture. And so they do that in a small group shaped by the people who are in that small group, shaped in a way that helps them grow in love with God and understanding and relationship with God. And then they slip into silent prayer, asking for forgiveness of their sins. Okay, there's nothing in a printed bulletin. There's nothing in the order of worship that is published on a board out in front of the trailer. And they, as they're finishing the prayer, there's some people walk into the trailer. Okay, and they don't want to get into the inner circle here. They're not part of the inner circle just yet, but they listen quietly to the prayer. And then the group breaks into Be Thou My Vision. And we're going to sing that in just a few minutes. But they start singing the hymn, Be Thou My Vision. And they've got it committed to memory. They sing it and all that. And the folks on the outside have heard it often enough that they begin to sing it. Okay, Be Thou My Vision. And the trailer is starting to rock, if you will. They close with one more prayer. The Psalm of David now, that asking that God be with him as he moves out amongst his enemies, give him the strength and be with him as he confronts his enemies, and they pray that prayer. And one lone voice says, Amen. And there's a big chorus of amens because outside that trailer that housed a small little group of people, and has grown to fill up the inside of the trailer and now has grown to surround the trailer are a group of people who have been drawn by the song, drawn by the power that they sense as a part of this group here. And there's a howl, just a loud amen from everybody. And then they head out, and they move out the field, conduct their mission. And here's a demographic of this group. There's not a single person in that trailer who's over 25 years old. The men and the women are all under 25 years old. There is not a single chaplain in that trailer. They have shaped a means for experiencing the presence of God, worshiping God, and a small group that they have tailored to their needs, and they do it in just the most authentic and heartfelt fashion. Okay? And they brought people who would have absolutely no inclination that their military service and a relationship with God would intersect. And yet it did out there in the desert of Iraq. And it does each and every day in so many different venues. So I think about these people who are now coming back. There are many of them back in our community. They are veterans who have served. They're back here. They are of an age group that is not necessarily enamored with our church. Not our church, but the church, if you will. They have been disillusioned by the church. But if that disillusionment continues, at the same time their desire to be in relationship with God continues and strengthens, how will Mandarin United Methodist Church reach out to them? How will we provide small group opportunities that nurture their growth and bring in new disciples for Jesus Christ? See, those young guys out there had no idea that they would encounter Jesus out in the desert of Iraq or Afghanistan. And yet, in the person of you and me and the soldiers that they serve with out there, they encountered Jesus. Challenge to us as Mandarin is recognizing that there's a generation of veterans out there. There's a generation of young people who aren't veterans out there, need a small group experience, need the outreach that we can provide to give them eternal hope in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you please bow and pray with me? Oh Lord, we thank you that we live in a country that allows us the freedoms to worship and the freedoms that we so much take for granted, but we know that there are men and women that have served and continue to serve to ensure those freedoms. We ask that you bless them and bless all of us today, and that you are mindful of the needs we have and the love that we need. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Would you please rise? We'll sing Be Thou My Vision, hymn 451. Close with a benediction and a playing of taps, please.
Be all else to
Now as we close, we remember that we should seek justice. We should love kindness and walk humbly with God. And I just add, as we go out, find a vet and say thank you. And now taps will be played. Dismissed.